Well, good evening, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
Again. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Edge Portal. Got a good show for you tonight. I'm sure you're all excited as I am. We have our host, Augusto and Larry, and an added bonus, we have Daniel Holdings. So hang on tight. Here we go. Take it away, guys.
Hey, good to have you on the show, Daniel. And Larry, are you there?
I'm here. We've had an accident situation, and the power's been blinking a lot and up and down with the phones, but I'm hanging in right now.
Huh. Wow. Well,
you won't believe it. Let me tell you.
Okay.
When I go over to my weather, my local weather, it says high 57, and do you know it never got over 34, and then it began to drop this evening, and sleet and ice, and it is unbelievable, the weather. Of course, I know I probably live in cold hell, if there is such a place, but man, I have never, ever seen weather like the last few months have been. I mean, it's just been beyond normal. Don't even come close.
Yeah. No, well, it's abnormal,
know,
for sure.
Augusto was just saying, Larry, before we got on the show, that things are not normal anymore anywhere. I mean, things are just so strange right now, and it's just unbelievable. It's like, okay, what else is going to happen? And I think that's kind of what you want to talk about, Augusto, huh? What else is going to happen?
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, there's so much stuff going on right now that if some people don't just get it, they still don't get it, that we are in, I mean, we're in the thick of it now. We're in the thick of a huge time of trial and tribulation. We are just getting into it now, and my Lord, the financial situation in the world is really unprecedented. The banks in Europe and Cyprus, is the people have their bank accounts frozen. The government is threatening to take 10% of their accounts, at least. And now there's rumors spreading that it might spread to the Western banks. Although they deny it, there's rumors about it. And, then you have the weather situation. Then you have the religious situation. The Pope, I got this email from Larry just prior to the show about this new statement that the Pope Francis made about the new world religion, the new world church, everybody joining together. I've been saying that, when I got that from you, Larry, I said, my goodness, we just talked about it not too long ago, about the one world religion. And then we have Obama, President Obama now in Israel, on the 10th of Nisan arriving there. And, I mean, all of these things taking place, the talk of war getting started with Iran, the talk of war over there in North Korea. Korea is just still, rattling to say their swords, they're talking about war, about attacking the U.S. and their Navy, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this thing is just incredible. I mean, everything, and then the volcanoes, it seems like every day a new volcano starts erupting and spewing up ash.
I don't know if you saw it or not, but ironically, I'm not telling anybody to believe what they say, but I received a email from, I guess it's the Ed Dane Group, or one of that group that produced some end-time remote viewing data. They've done
the
some
kill
pretty,
shot. Yeah,
pretty
he's
interesting
the guy that
work.
Did the kill shot.
Yeah, and they're saying that the meteors that we're experiencing, get ready for more. That's not even normal anymore. I mean, these incoming meteors are just not, it's not a one-time thing. This is beginning of something that, we've never really talked about that much, I guess.
Well, you guys, I'm in the thick of researching for my next book, right? And And I don't know why God does this. I mean, as much as I research to write a story, God directs me to places to get my attention about various things. And it's funny that you mentioned two things that I wanted to chime in on, Larry, the whole financial situation that Gusto just mentioned, because I have a background in that. And secondarily, I just and I wasn't going to do this. I ended up doing some research on Nibiru and Nemesis, and I think I sent you guys something on that. I'm not a believer, a big believer in Planet X or Nibiru, but I came across some data yesterday that blew my mind. And Augusto and Larry, you're talking about the meteors and asteroids that are increasing. And what I found out yesterday is that if this thing is real, it's going through the Kuiper belt right now, the Kuiper belt, which is the asteroid belt. And that is pushing or forcing meteors and asteroids our way. So this is why we're seeing the increase of the things that we're seeing. So, Larry, if that's true, then you're only going to see, you're absolutely right, more of that stuff. And you can tell that by the way NASA is addressing it, because they're telling you not to worry. When the government tells you not to worry, it's time to get worried.
Well, that's like, well, you know, 2012. If you watch the movie 2012, you remember that actor called his ex-wife, and she said, oh, no, said the governor was saying everything, that the worst was over. And he said, when they say the worst is over, you grab a hold of something.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, you heard NASA's latest solution for an incoming asteroid, right? Pray.
Yeah, pray.
So when NASA tells you that is the solution, if there's an incoming asteroid, to pray, well, you know, we've been saying that for a long time and nobody listened to us. Maybe they'll listen now.
Well, hopefully they don't listen to the Pope anyway, because they want you to pray it all together. You know, the other thing is, we talk about the government, and when the government says don't worry, I read this article today. It was a small article, a little snippet, but Ben Bernanke, the Treasury, the Fed chairman, said that bubble, there's no bubble. There's no bubble in the stock market. Don't worry. Because he says not to worry, I'm not going to worry, right? I'm not going to be concerned about it because he says there's no bubble. I'm telling you guys, and I'm telling the audience right now, the stock market keeps going up and up and up, but it's paper money. It's a paper tiger. It's not real. It's being generated by the government. The government pumping is pushing the stock market. The leading indicators and the lagging indicators in the financial sectors tell us that things are not all right. So it is an artificial bubble. And the problem is, you have this false expectation or this false enthusiasm for investing in the economy and the market, and it's not real. It's you know, Ben Bernanke saying what he's saying is only trying to soothe over people's concerns so that they keep on investing and keep on pumping by the market. But guys, just like the crazy weather all across the world, just like the crazy events politically and geopolitically, the things in the financial sector are not normal. It's not normal. What's going on right now is not normal. And regardless of what they tell us, the next shoe, folks, hold on, because the next shoe is about to drop. And that shoe, see, the other stuff, Larry and Augusto, that other stuff, the asteroids, the weather, the saber rattling, the threats, all that other stuff is we see that on the news once in a great while. But the fact is that it will be, and I've said this for a long time, it will be the financial collapse, so the beginning of the financial collapse that will usher in all of those things, all of the things that we've been talking about. It'll all start with the financial collapse.
Well, they need our money. They need our money to build their underground bunkers. You know, that's what this is all about. They're building their, you know, billions of dollars, you know, $10, $20, $30 billion bunkers, underground military bunkers, and providing it with food and medications and water and enough to survive for several years. You know, that they need our money for that. And, you know, that is what this is all about. Don't let anybody kid you. I mean, this is what this is all about. They know that the financial situation in the world is done. It's toast. It's kissing goodbye. No good. It's going to collapse. So they know this. That's why they're not concerned. That's why they don't want to fix it. And they know that the trigger to this whole mess is the incoming, objects, the incoming asteroids, meteors, comets, Nibiru, the 10th planet, the dark star, the death star. I mean, this thing is real. And whether people want to see it or not, or they want to believe it or not, It's up to them. But, you know, I was listening to Marshall Masters' last interview and Coast to Coast.
I heard and, that, you know, well. That was
yeah,
very...
And I don't know if people have heard him, you know. Of all the people out there that seem to be the most grounded and the most practical about going about this issue of the Planet X, this guy, I have found him to be very honest and very straightforward and very sound. You know, his research, he tries to do the most research and to debunk every you know, rumor and everything, every piece of information he gets. He tries to debunk it with his science team. And you know, when I heard him say this, I said, man, you know, wow, I never thought about that. Because he actually was saying that he has tried to debunk this incoming object. He has tried to debunk it, and he cannot debunk it. And he threw a challenge out there to the people and said, if there is anyone out there that can debunk it, please, you know, have at it, you know, because I have not been able to debunk it. The scientists that are working with us have not been able to debunk it. Even scientists that are not, you know, with us, they haven't been able to debunk it, you know. So he's really concerned about this. And, you know, the only question seems to be the timing. Everybody knows this thing is going to happen. It's just when. And the governments know that. They know it's inevitable. They just don't know when. So they are keeping the economy together, you know, with clips and pins and needles. And they want to keep this thing going, you know, just milking the people. And now they're beginning to take over bank accounts. all these rumors are beginning to emerge now about the same situation here happening, or the same situation that happened in the bank in Cyprus, happening here in the U.S. And you know what I was thinking, Larry and Daniel, is that, And this is kind of interesting, that maybe some of these places that have been considered safe havens, these people are going to hit them. And they're going to try to take that money because they know that is where the money is going to. You know, all those places like... Has that crossed your mind?
Well, Larry, you didn't forward that email to Augusto, did you? The email that I sent you?
Yeah, I think I did.
Oh, you did? Yeah, okay.
For the show.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, Augusto, that's exactly the point. And without getting into a lot of this, Augusto, this is really important. This is really, really important because people need to understand what's about to happen. Two things, though. Let me go back and let me say two things about Marshall Masters. What amazed me about Marshall Masters, because I listened to that show last night, as a matter of fact, after I listened to a recording. But what he said, he's not a believer, Augusto, and what he said is he can't disprove the Bible on this issue. Isn't
yeah.
that interesting? That,
yeah.
That's very
yeah.
interesting. What's that
well,
like?
The Bible is real. I mean, what can I say? It's a fact.
Yeah, no, it is a fact. And, it's interesting that he compared the Coldwin Bible and other writings, ancient writings, to what's going on, and he says it's coming. As far as the timeline goes, he said that he thought it was June. That's what he said when he was pressed, if you recall, on that interview by callers that called in. He thought it was going to be in June. And I think it's very interesting that what we are seeing in the world today is leading up to that, and starting with the financial issue, and that's why this is so important. There are safe havens around the world for big money. When I talk about big money, I talk about $500 million or more. Well, when you have the ultra-wealthy or governments that want to hide their money, hide them via a tax haven, they look to these areas. And it used to be, a few years ago I knew this, but I really don't. There's about six or seven of them. They've been going away because they've been made to be more and more transparent with the Obama administration has done that and some other things. But what listeners do not understand, and I didn't understand until today, and I came from a background of money, and I didn't know this. And when I heard this, I was shocked. I was stunned because the revelation that I had when I heard this piece of news is so important for people to understand, because it was the first domino. I thought that Greece would be the first domino when it came to the EU, but somehow they put their finger in that dike of Greece, and it hasn't tipped over just yet. So, but the problem with Cyprus is that the Russian government has put their money into Cyprus banks as a safe haven. Now, why the Russian government would do that, I have no clue. Not only has the Russian government done that, but the Russian mafia, who has billions of dollars, has done that as well. Now, as a result, as of yesterday, they closed the banks. The Russian government and the Russian mafia, can't get their money. Now, you think that an average customer of a bank is ticked off because he can't get money to pay, you know, for food or housing or whatever. Imagine the government. The government can't pay their people. And the EU, then Cyprus, they had a vote in the legislature last night, and they said, no, we will not take 10% of the money, of the people's money. We will not do this, EU. So the EU, as of today, is threatening to throw them out of the EU, threatening to throw Cyprus out of the EU. And Cyprus has dug in their heels and said, no, we will not. Now, if they do not come up with billions by Monday, they will go bankrupt. And if that happens, those billions and billions of dollars from not only Russia and the Russian mafia, but other people that put their money there are gone. They're gone. Now, what was already happening is that there are protests and riots in the streets of Cyprus right now. If this happens, they're saying that there will be protests and riots in the street of Russia because their workers can't be paid because it's tied up in Syria. I mean, in Cyprus.
Well, it's going to spread throughout the Europe.
It's the first domino, and people don't understand this. As I said, I didn't understand this till just today. Folks, This is so serious, because at the same time when I found this out, I actually read an alert. I think I sent it to you guys, but an alert on Steve Quayle's website where it talked about this banker was very upset because he's been told by his bosses, it's a mainstream bank here in America, that they are going to be limiting withdrawals within the next 60 days in the United States. See, our government already knows it's coming. So what you're seeing,
I wouldn't doubt it.
That's exactly right. What you're seeing, audience, is the beginning of those dominoes falling. And of this is ushering in this time that we're entering into.
I have been going to our bank. You know, we live in a little town here in Live Oak. And, you know, I don't know about where you live, Daniel and Larry and Dorothy, you know, but my little bank here, you know, a little town of about 8,000 people, I started noticing that in the beginning of the year, whenever I went there, I started seeing that they had put this thick glasses, about an inch and a half thick, all around the tellers. All the tellers had this. Before, you know, there was a big window opening, you know, and it was just a little window pane, you know, we have thin glass. Well, no longer. And I asked, one of the tellers there, who's a friend of mine, I said, what's going on here? Why all the security? And she said that to me. She said, I don't know, but they were given, or they were sent a letter telling them to beef up the security. And so that right there sent me a signal that they're expecting a lot of problems. They're expecting violence from the people. And why would the bank expect violence? Why would the bank expect turmoil? I mean, the banks, the money has always been safe in the banks, you know, as far as that's concerned. So that tells me that they're planning on doing something with the people's monies in the banks. They're going to confiscate it, or they're going to take it, or they're just going to do what they're doing in Cyprus, basically shut the banks down and tell the people, you know, we're going to take so much money out of your bank account, 10%. I mean, in Cyprus it's 10%. It could be more. They could do anything they want. From what I'm seeing, these people are a bunch of thugs. They can do anything they want, and who can protest? And so what they are expecting and what they are trying to protect themselves against is an uprising from the people, basically a violent uprising. Therefore, you want the gun controls. That is all. That is why all this gun control is happening. That is why they're beefing up, you know, almost 2 billion ammo, you know, bullets, you know, a special ammo, you know, for to protect themselves, to protect the Department of Homeland Security. Give me a break. And all these different agencies. So this is what they're expecting. They're expecting a collapse, an economic collapse that is going to send people into a rage. And they're going to storm the banks. They're going to storm public buildings, federal buildings. They're going to, I mean, and then they're going to start coming against the government itself, and all these people, all these senators and the congressmen and what have you. And so this is why they're beginning to see these in the bigger cities, not in the smaller yet, but in the bigger cities, they're beginning to see these huge tank-looking armored vehicles. Why would a sheriff department need an armored vehicle? You know,
well,
so
you know,
this is the questions people have to ask. What are they preparing for? And
that,
this is it.
That's an interesting point, Augusto. Larry, you'd be better able to answer this, but if I recall, there is a law that says that the police cannot act as an army. Is there not a law that says that?
Well, there was a posse comitatus, you know.
That's what it is.
However, a few years ago, they began to militarize the police. And there are plans that I've heard that they're going to federalize all the police. And so guess who's their boss? Mr. O. But the people have sat back and allowed all this to happen. The people have literally just sat on their hands for years and allowed this to come to where it is now. And I don't think they can stop it now. Do you, Augusto?
No. No, this has gone too far now. This has gone too far. The government is too strong. And thank God that they have reined back these people that wanted to take the guns away from the American people, because if they had achieved that, that would have been the end of it. I mean, that would have been it. But there are millions of Americans, you know, and ex-military men and veterans and that are armed to the teeth. And so they know that, and they know that this is not going to be a piece of cake. That is why you're seeing the Russian troops here, the Spetsnaz, and you're seeing the Chinese being brought in, and you're seeing the Somalians being brought in, and you're seeing all these Muslims being brought in, because they know that the American soldiers and a lot of policemen are not going to go after American people, and there's going to be an uprising. Now, this brings me back. I was thinking about this today before the show. Maybe I need to share it. Maybe this is the Holy Spirit prompting me to share this. But at the end of last year, I had that experience about the fact that there was coming a revolution to America, and he was going to usher in the new world order. Well, it's happening. It's beginning to happen. And this is going to usher in the new world order. It's going to usher in martial law. And this revolution is going to be many men of God have seen this. I saw it back in 1995. I saw a brother fighting against brother in the streets of America. I didn't understand it back then, but now I do. I saw people looting. I saw people just, in violence in the streets. There was bloodshed everywhere. There were people fighting with each other, people killing each other. I mean, it was horrible, and I didn't understand it back in 1995, but that's when I had that experience. And then just this last year, the Lord, told me again. He showed it to me again, and I was told by a messenger from the Lord that there was a revolution coming to America. And I know there's been others saying this in years past, but what makes this particular experience important to me, at least, is that now I have been told now that it is going to happen now, that it's coming now. And so I believe this is not too far down the road. It could be this year. I really believe it could be this year. If not this year, for sure it's going to be next year. But this is not 5-10 years down the road, and the people need to be aware of this, because they're timing everything. These people are timing everything to the arrival of this dark star. This is going to be the trigger. When this happens, forget it. That's when the Koreans are going to attack us. That is when the Chinese are going to attack us, the Russians. That's when there's going to be martial law. That's when it's coming down. So keep your eyes on the skies, because whenever this thing happens, let's say that this prophecy, I think it was you, Daniel, that mentioned it, or Larry, I'm not sure, but that someone said that it's coming in June. Well,
yeah, that was Marshall Masters that said that it was going to be in June.
Yeah, from that.
That's when you would see the blue kachina in June. But the blue kachina, or the blue, he calls it the blue bonnet, but the blue star is the harbinger. It's the predecessor of the red dragon, or the red dwarf star, which is right behind it. And that's where, Augusta, you've talked about this, that mini star, that's carrying its own little galaxy with it. And there's a ton of stuff that is in that mini galaxy that we are going to be pummeled with as we go through its tail on Earth. And
Well, even the scientists are saying it now. You know, McCain's saying it. Others are beginning to say it. Even those men are not saying much. They're just giving the minimum, the bare minimum, that even this comet, Ison, there could be some effects because of that. And they're not saying what, and they're not saying much, but they're kind of saying, you know, like if you can read, I mean, they're kind of telling the people, if you read between the lines, there could be some problems with this one. And because this comet Ison, you know, and I really don't want to get into it, because it brings me memories of back in 2011 with Elenin. And I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get caught into that again. But the Lord has shown me things, but I'm not going to share. I am going to keep it to myself for now. I'm just going to tell the people, keep your eyes in the heavens, because there's some things about to happen. And I'm not going to predict anything. I'm not going to say anything, because back then I stuck my neck out to try to warn people, and I almost got it chopped off.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that well. And you did absolutely nothing wrong, and you didn't say anything inaccurately. People just misinterpreted what you said. Either
that's
that,
right,
or just didn't like what you said.
That's right.
Well, and you know, the problem is, it wasn't just you, Augusto. It was several people. And, you know, I looked at the telemetry of Elenin, and something happened to that comet. If you looked at the telemetry via SOHO, you could see that something happened to it. And that's all I'm going to say. So it was put off. Whatever was supposed to happen, or was going to happen, was put off. And I don't believe that you were inaccurate in the things that you said and others said. I think the timeline was pushed back, and I'll just leave it at that. But when we talk about the events that are going down right now, it's important for the audience to understand. I think you're going to see the financial system begin to collapse you know, within the next couple of weeks, not here in the U.S., but you're going to start seeing that, those ripples around the world. And those ripples will become waves all around the world where you're going to see hyperinflation here in the United States. Now, why do I say that? Well, because we are printing money like crazy, and it has to, you have to get inflation when this happens. It's a cause and effect thing. So that's what you're going to see. And then you were talking about the small armored vehicles. I don't know if you guys read, but the government, the DHS, has just bought a ton of those to give to local police enforcement. The Director of Homeland Security, whatever her name is, I forget now, but she was in front of Congress today, and she would not answer why the DHS has bought, you know, those billions of bullets. She wouldn't tell them why when Congress demanded to know why. So they know that there's a financial collapse that is imminent, not going to happen in the by and by. It is imminent, folks. So now's the time to store up. Now's the time to get ready for that, if you haven't already. At the same time, you have that stuff that Marshall Masters was talking about with Nibiru or Planet X or the Blue Kachina, whatever you want to call it, happening in May or June. You're going to see this saber rattling from North Korea. Is not just saber rattling, folks. They are itching. If you recall, for those in the audience that don't know, South Korea and North Korea are still technically at war. They had an armistice, which meant a ceasefire. There was never an end to that war. And what North Korea did last week is they said they were tearing up the armistice. They were tearing up the ceasefire. And they stopped. They have a hotline between those two countries, and they stopped answering their hotline. So what this means, you know, Larry, you are a military man. You know what this means. They have a hotline for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
So they could calm the fires. They don't want the fires calm. Now, at the same time, now, folks, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You have President Obama that rode into Jerusalem on a Democratic donkey, not a literal one, a figurative one, as the head of our country. And he's over there crying, peace, peace. You know, you guys got to settle, you know, you guys got to have peace. You guys, you have to negotiate so you have peace. And he is literally over there saying peace, peace, in the middle of all this stuff that is beginning to boil. And guys,
Daniel,
the
beast isn't running right now, though. The beast broke down.
Matter of fact, guys,
I saw some intel on that situation, and supposedly what really did occur was that they tried to fuel it up in Jordan before they got to Israel, and the Jordanians put diesel in it, and it runs on gasoline, and it is a the beast was dead in Israel, let me assure you. I mean, really, it wouldn't run. They had to. I saw it on a wrecker in Israel being hauled around, you know. Oh, my. I won't go into that prophetic stuff. But, hey, by the way, I don't know if everybody knew Dorothy's been having her own tribulation. I saw where the raccoons ate her chickens.
Wow. Is that right, Dorothy?
Yes, the raccoons ate my chickens.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. What do you do, shoot them?
Oh, I wish. I wish. They just picked them off one by one.
Wow.
My goodness. You got to get yourself something to deal with them raccoons, then coons.
I didn't think we had raccoons in the area. I didn't even think about raccoons and chickens. I mean, I knew we had fox, and I knew we had cats and possums, but not raccoons. Those are clever little things. They have fingers.
They got quite an appetite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's another prophecy in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, when it says the animals are going to become so fierce, and they're going to begin to attack people, you know, all over. Whenever the judgment of God falls upon a nation, you're always going to see the same pattern. There's going to be wars. You know, the horsemen of the apocalypse, if you do research throughout the scriptures, You're always going to find the same pattern. God sends them horsemen and them horses, and is the horse of war. The red is the horse of plagues. You know, the yellow one, the pale, is the horse of famine. The black horse, and is the horse of, you know, the animals, wild beasts, and, you know, and all that. He always uses the same pattern to bring judgment upon the people, to bring famine, to bring pestilence, and to bring war. And we are beginning to see that happen upon this country and in many parts of the world. We are going to be in for times of famine. The bread baskets of the world has been hit hard. Now, if you add to that the fact that there's going to be a shortage of food, okay, in itself that is going to cause the prices of food to skyrocket. If you add to that now the fact that the economy is going to begin to wobble and collapse, and the dollar may, you know, there may be a super devaluation of the dollar anywhere from 40% to 70%. I believe that's where it's going to be. That is going to cut the purchasing power of just every American family at least in half, at least in half. So what it took you to buy food and you know, and put food on the table for your family now and in the past, in the recent months, it's going to take twice that now to do it. And it's going to become really, really difficult. It's going to become very tough. And eventually, if they want to do away with the value of the dollar, I mean, it completely collapse it, it's going to become worthless. And it's going to go back to your trust in the Lord and for Him to supply your need. And maybe if you have some seeds left, I encourage people to get some seeds, and get yourself a plot of land or a garden, you know, where you can plant some seeds and at least, you know, be able to survive and dig yourself a little well, you know, and things like that. You know, it's not that difficult. And you'll make it fine, but you got to stay close to the Lord, because this thing that is coming and it's upon us now, we see the handwriting on the wall. There was a little sister that I know, you know, she's a prayer intercessor, and she gets messages from the Lord, and she wrote me an email a couple of months ago that the Lord showed her that when the stock market collapses in Europe, she said that it's coming here next quickly. And she saw the stock market in Europe, it went belly up, and we are beginning to see that now. And she said that then that when the stock market here in the U.S. was going to hit 600. Well, keep your eye on the stock market; it's going up fast. It may be at 600 before long. By the summer, it may be up there. I don't know. So when these things happened, she said that she was told that there was coming a collapse. And a devaluation of the dollar here in the U.S. So this thing could be around the corner this year. And all these things happening at the same time with the Pope. And I got that article, Larry, about the one world religion. We were just talking about that the other night. And this guy now is talking it. Now he's talking about it. You know, all the faiths uniting, all the religions beginning to come together. For the same purpose and the same goal, the same vision, you know, and there's talk about building a new temple in Jerusalem, and now Obama is talking about, you know, he's probably going to propose Jerusalem, internationalizing the city of Jerusalem. So all these things coming together at the same time, this Pope being the last Pope according to Saint Malachi. My. We're living in exciting times. Look up, for our redemption draweth nigh.
It just, Augusto, it boggles the mind. I mean, it really does. Had any of you guys, had you heard the interview that Steve Quayle did with Doug and Joe Hagman? I think it was yesterday. Did you guys have a chance to listen to that?
I haven't yet. I've got it downloaded, but I have I've been run ragged lately.
Yeah, me neither. I haven't had a chance to do it.
Well, you know, he said something very interesting on there, and when he said it, in my heart, I knew it was right. You know, I knew it was true. He said that And he said he would never say this until the Lord gave him clearance to say it, because he saw it a long time ago. And he said, as of that day, which was yesterday, I believe, God had removed his hand off of the United States. And as a way of confirmation, I had actually read a couple of things from people that had visions to that same point, that God had removed his hand off of the United States. Now, when I say things like this, and when anybody says things like this, when we talk about judgment coming on the United States, people roll their eyes, Christians roll their eyes and say, well, this is God's country. This is, you know, this is, God made this country, and God we trust, and, you know, they'll throw all this other stuff. But I'm always quick to tell them, look, you know, the Bible says that Israel is the apple of God's eye, and God judged Israel not once but many times because of their sin. If you know, for those that believe that the United States, and I love this country, I'm a veteran, I serve my country, but for those that think that we can continue to operate the way we operate as a country, to continue to do what is right in our own eyes, and to continue to call what is evil good and what is good evil, and think that God will turn a blind eye, then you don't know that God. That's not the same God that I serve, because our God is a righteous God and a just God, and he will not let his people sin like that, even if that were true, that we were God's country and as a whole God would protect us. That's not how God operates.
Well, right now, Jerusalem is one of the most corrupt places in the world. I mean, I don't know if either one of you has seen some of the stuff that's going on there, but it's worse than the United States. The corruption, the homosexuality, the bestiality, it's running rampant in Jerusalem. So the Lord is not very pleased with that. But like we've talked before, Jerusalem is the city of God. He will not allow, regardless of how corrupted the people are there now, regardless of anything else that's going on, okay? Brush that aside. Jerusalem still is the city of God. It's the city of David, and he intends to rule from it. And anybody that, he has a plan for that city. He has a plan, and he's going to fulfill it. And anyone that messes with that real estate, he's going to have to mess with God. And with the Almighty is not pleased with what's going on in Jerusalem, but that is one of the reasons why he does not destroy Jerusalem, because he has plans for the city. He has plans for that city, and he is going to reign and rule from there. And so you're going to see a lot of things happen in the world, but Jerusalem is going to be preserved because of that. Not because the people are good there, because the people there are very corrupted. I mean, the whole world is going like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not just the United States. Yeah. I travel all around the world. I'm telling you, Mexico is corrupt like Sodom and Gomorrah. I was in Mexico last year. I was standing there in the near the coastline there in the Acapulco, and I was amazed. I was shocked at the things that are being done there. They sell children. They sell them like meat, okay, for pornography, for bestiality, for sodomy, for homosexuality. They sell them like a piece of meat. And I was being told that city is one of the main ones in the world, and they kidnap people there, and they sell them to rings, okay, of pornography rings, and these people that deal with the buying and selling of slaves. And they do this, and that is one of the main places where they go get the children and get the women. And this is happening in South America. This is happening all over the world. In Thailand, it's happening in India, it's happening in Indonesia, China, Russia. And so it's not just the United States. The United States is bad because we live in it, we see it. But trust me, there are places out there in the world that are 10 times worse. And we're just beginning. See, these things we're seeing now in the U.S. with bestiality, on homosexuality and all these things. These things have been going on in Europe for years.
That's true. That is absolutely true, Augustine.
There are countries in Europe that have been governed by a homosexual for years.
Gays.
Gay presidents that invite dignitaries, and they have a party. They have a gay party, and they get bashed. And these things have been going on there for a while. Now, it's happening here in the U.S., and we are in shock. And God is going to judge America, yes. But it's not just America. I want to make that clear. It's not just America. This thing is running rampant all over the earth. And some places worse than others. And but I go back to what I said before. Jerusalem belongs to the Lord. And he is not going to allow Obama or Netanyahu or I don't care Perez or any of these Illuminati or the Pope or anybody. I don't care if he's a Jesuit. He is not going to allow them to split Jerusalem. And the moment they split Jerusalem, you're going to watch some horrendous earthquakes begin to take place in America, in Europe. The Vatican is going to be split. I believe, you know what, as I was saying that, I got this impression in me that may be the trigger, the Vatican wanting Jerusalem divided. Mm. That may be what causes that earthquake in the Vatican. And that may be what causes
Malachi
the earthquake
saw.
Here in the New Madrid.
You're talking about the earthquake that St. Malachi saw.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you know, and as I was speaking, that just came to me, and I don't know. That may be from the Lord, but you know, the Lord is not going to allow this to happen because that is His real state. That's His property. And you know, I know there's people out there that say, well, you know, Israel is corrupt. Yes, it is corrupt. There's a lot of corruption and this and that. But Jerusalem is still the city of God. And he will not. I mean, we talked about that, I think it was yesterday, Larry, with Randy Yarborough. And, you know, I read a couple of scriptures about Jerusalem becoming a burdensome stone. And anybody that tries to, you know, to mess with it, to put a burden on it, is going to be destroyed. It's very clear in the scriptures. It's very, very, very clear. So I am praying personally. I know there may be people out there that don't agree with me. I don't care. But I'm praying that the Lord shakes Obama and gives him a nightmare, and that he wakes up perspiring, you know, in deeply, deeply shaken. And when the Lord deals with him right there in Jerusalem about splitting Jerusalem, because I really believe that is his intention in this trip, I really pray that the Lord deals with Netanyahu, that he does not become weak-kneed and gives in to this for the sake of whatever, the peace or whatever promises are being given. I pray that he does not make the mistake of allowing Jerusalem to be divided, because that will be disastrous also for Jerusalem. That will be disastrous for Israel, for the United States, for the Vatican. This is serious stuff. Serious, serious, serious.
Well, you know, Augusto, when you read, you read some scriptures on Randy's show last night, but when you actually read some things that God says about Jerusalem, it almost, and someone that would touch, you know, that situation, it almost reminds me biblically of when, you know, there were very few that could lay hands on the ark and carry it. And there wasn't but one could actually enter the room with it, you know, during certain times. But there are a few things in this time space that I guess the Creator has decided are hands off, basically. And I, you know, I don't care whether people like it or not. I'm glad you brought it up. And one of them really is Jerusalem now. You know, it really is.
Well, you know, when God brings judgment to people, it is for the explicit purpose of drawing them back to Him. God doesn't hurt people just to hurt them. His goal is for everyone to come to Him, and He tries to get our attention. And unfortunately, most of us are hard headed, and He has to take the action that He does. But when it comes to his land, when it comes to Jerusalem, as far as dividing it goes, in fact, the opposite is true, Augusto, and you know this because you're a biblical man. It says that the borders of Jerusalem are expanded way beyond what they are now. It says that those borders, for instance, will go into Jerusalem. I'm not talking Israel. It says Jerusalem's borders will be expanded. That one of those borders goes into Saudi Arabia. That's how far it goes. And one of those borders go down into Syria. That's how far it goes. And it goes all the way over to the Red Sea. So, on the contrary, you know, Jerusalem is God's his spot. That is his spot. And he's going to safeguard it. It doesn't mean that people aren't going to try to divide it, though. I mean, In fact, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the White House put out a
map. You know, he gave that land to Abraham. Remember that?
Yeah.
He gave that land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, and this is something that the people do not understand. And I understand everything about the covenants. Okay, I am a student of the word, and I understand that the covenant that God made with Abraham. Now, if we are partakers of the new covenant, we are partakers of Abraham's heritage. We understand that. We are then believers in Yeshua. We understand that. And that is the spiritual aspect of it. But what a lot of people do not understand is that also the Lord made covenant with Abraham about the land. That is the clincher. He made a covenant with Abraham about the land. And he told him, he said, I give you this land. You understand? So that land is not that land doesn't even belong to the people, to the government of Israel right now. That belongs to Abraham and all his descendants. And that belongs to the Lord. That belongs to God. And nobody can give that away. Nobody can split the land or do whatever they want with it because it belongs to God. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Isaac and Jacob. And he said, I give you this land. Many covenants have been cut in that land about the future. And so there is a lot of history in that land. There's a lot of bloodshed. There's a lot of covenant cutting and covenant keeping in that land and heritage that the Lord, he's very jealous about that. And so this is what the people need to understand. And I don't think there's a lot of people out there that understand this. I want to stress that again, that people have to be very careful, when they talk about splitting Jerusalem and giving that land away for this or for that purpose or to the Palestinians or whatever. That is not theirs to give. It's not theirs to give, period.
You just reminded me something, Augusto, something that about what Larry was just saying. This struck me now. Larry, you were talking about earlier about Obama's car, which they call the beast. You didn't call it the beast. That's what they call it. They call his limo the beast, right? Breaking
down.
Yeah,
that's really its name, you know?
Yeah, and do you know what happened on that day? I just, Augusto, made this connection. The White House put out a map of Israel, and on this, I don't know if you guys heard this, on this map Israel, Jerusalem wasn't on it. And the southern part of Jerusalem, or the northern part, I don't remember, the northern part, I think, wasn't on the map as belonging to Israel. And
you know,
the
Golan was missing, too.
The Golan was missing, that's right. And on that day, the beast breaks down. So, Augusto, to your point, God... You know, God doesn't mess around when it comes to his land. And that's his land. That's not Israel's land. It's his land. He's not going to let it be divided. That's right.
I mean, there's going to be big wars over that piece of land. And remember that the Battle of Armageddon, that is where it's going to be fought, in the Valley of Megiddo. And that is where these entities are going to come against the Messiah. They're gonna rally them there, and that is where they're gonna expect to, you know, to really hold, hold the fort, you know, and the Almighty, the Creator, is coming back to reclaim the earth. He's told me that this now several times. He says, "I'm coming back to reclaim the title deed of the earth," and he is going to do it. And he's going to guess where his feet are going to land. They're going to land right on his land. They're going to land right where he made the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to land right there where, you know, he did all this, and he's going to split the mountains in two. And, you know, this is something that we just need to keep in front of us, because this is real. This is dangerous. Every time in the past that the United States has tried to do something with Jerusalem, there have been repercussions here in this country. I mean, just check history. You're going to see it. It matches. Every time it happened with Papa Bush, it happened with Clinton, it happened with Baby Bush, and it may now happen with Obama.
Augusto, I was going to say, insert right there where, you know, I read a lot of John McTernan's blogs and Bill Koenig, and both of those individuals have written a number of books about as we do to Israel, so whatever happened to us. I can't remember how it goes exactly, but anyway, exactly what you're saying is a fact. They have really documented historically what we have done and what has come back on us from, you know, touching that part of the world.
Yeah, it's holy. I mean, again, I'm not talking about the people that are living there now. They may be doing the most ungodly things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the land. The Lord has, the creator, the Almighty, the Messiah. There's something about that land. That land is where the Messiah came to. That is where he was born. There is the heritage. That is where he made the covenants. That is where he made the first covenant, the old covenant with his people. And that is where he made the second covenant, the covenant of his blood. That is where he cut the covenant, like spoken of in the book of Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 9. And I don't want to get into this because we've dealt with this before. I think we dealt with this in the last program. Daniel, you were in it. You know, that is a fulfillment of the making of the covenant. He made the covenant with many there. And he did away with the first covenant because it was not perfect, and then he brought in the second covenant. But he did it there in Jerusalem, and that is very precious to him. And people better not mess up with Jerusalem, because he's coming back to it, and he is going to fight for it. And that is why we see the Lord fighting. That is why we see the Lord fighting for that real estate. You know, many times we get things confused, okay? We get things confused. And many people get confused. And I was confused for a while. And sometimes, you know, many people say to me, why would the Lord fight for, you know, a people that rejected him? Well, let me tell you something. The Lord is not as much fighting for the people that rejected him as he is fighting for the land that those people are living on. Because they are the keepers. Right now, the Jews are there. They're the keepers of the land. And the Lord, he knows that as long as the Jews are there, he you know, the Palestinians don't have it. They're not going to put at least you start putting in all the rocks and Allah, whatever. But the Lord is interested in the land. He will fight for the land. And he gave that land to the Jews, and now they're there, okay? But the Jews cannot get arrogant and proud and say, you know, this is ours. No, it's not. It's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. You are the keepers for now. But he's going to rule and reign from there. And his people are going to rule and reign from there. The Zion is going to rule and reign from there. But he is going to defend that real state. It's his. And like you said, Daniel, it's much bigger than it is now. And it is going to expand because he made that covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he gave them the boundaries. He told them the boundaries, what they were going to be. And they're way beyond what they're now. And if I have learned one thing from the Creator, from the Father, is that he's a keeper of covenants. And man may not keep covenants. Man may not keep the covenants. The Jews may not have kept the covenant, but he is going to keep his part of the covenant. He is a keeper of covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. And this is something people need to understand. that even though the people forsake the covenant, even though they do not keep it, the Almighty will still keep his end of the bargain. And that is something that is a mystery, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Augusta, you mentioned, just to change tracks here for a second, you mentioned the Vatican and the Pope. You know, I have said, people say that there will be a one-world religion, and the article that Larry sent to you and I certainly speaks to that. And I have said for a long time that there would be a one-world currency. And I think what we are seeing, I didn't think that we would see it all at the same time, but we are actually seeing both that one-world currency and the beginnings of that one-world government right now. We are seeing both of them start right now, and that just boggles the mind. I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, it's all these things. I mean, you know, like your Daniel, when you write a book, or at least I'll say the books you've written that I've read, you have a whole lot of things in there, and really it ties in with what Jesus said, you know, when you see all these things.
It's just, it's unbelievable. You know, when, Augusta, when we talk about the Vatican, and Larry, you know, part of my research for my next book, if there's even time to do another book, I keep telling you that, Larry. I don't know if there's time to do another book, but part of the research, you know, Tom Horn and Chris Putnam put out a 20 section paper on Exo Vaticana, and I would encourage the listeners to look up Tom Horn's website, Raiders News Update. com, and he has stuff on there on both of his books, Exo Vaticana and Petrus Romanus. Now, that whole the whole train of thought coming from the Vatican on these arriving beings and how they will blend into, and you guys will just have to read the stuff for yourselves, audience, but how they will blend their religion with our religion or our religion with their religion, it certainly sounds like it's insane, but you can absolutely see in the middle of all the craziness that is about to come upon us, the collapsing of economies all around the world, the food shortages that you mentioned, Augusto, the crazy weather that you've seen, Larry, up there, imagine that all over the world, having these visitors come in the middle of, you know, Nibiru arriving or whatever, and saying, hey, we're here to help, and them doing miracles, if you will, and stopping the weather, stopping volcanoes, you know, giving us free energy, helping us live forever. You know, you can see how the world, who is crying out for a savior, for somebody to help them, right, would embrace, you know, somebody that the Vatican endorses. Am I too far off, or do you guys think
Daniel, I think you're right on, and I had someone that I had worked and done some research with a little bit from Italy. I think she lives in the U.S. and Italy both now, named Paola Harris, And the thing is, she delved quite deeply into the Vatican and the Catholic Church when she was in Italy and you know, in Rome itself. And they literally have set up a group or priest or individuals to actually handle the religious affairs of the Nephilim. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you hadn't gone too far, Daniel. You was touching on the edges of that, but they have literally set it up, so this arrival thing that we do know is coming, you know, I hate to get into that very much because the fact that, you know, people really look at you a lot funnier when you talk that kind of stuff, but, you know, all of this is coming together, and, you know, I got to thinking about something else, and both of you guys give me your opinion on this, but, you know, I've taken some recent photographs up in a portal area up here where I live, And when I've enlarged those photographs, you've never seen a craft shaped like that. You know what I'm saying? And I've sent you guys both copies of some of the enlargements, but this is what's interesting, and I wanted to ask your opinion on this. I need to talk to Sandeo about it too, I guess. When I take those pictures, what usually attracts my attention, you know, I had shared with you especially, Daniel, that I see a lot of flashes of light up here in the atmosphere, and usually I'll see a beam, a little piece of light, you know, or it looks like a star maybe, bigger than a star, maybe moving a little bit, and I'll take a photograph of it with a digital camera, and the results that I've sent you when it's enlarged is incredible. But now here's the question. You know, each of you answer it if you want to, and if you don't, I'm really not trying to set you up, but this thought came to me. Maybe thus far, a lot of what we have seen in these portals haven't been able to totally penetrate into our space-time, and I wonder myself if what I'm photographing is a photograph through the thinness of the veil. In other words, the veil is so thin in that portal area that I can literally take a photograph through it, and yet that craft that I enlarge and see the shape of it is not really on this side yet, but it's very close. What do you guys think? I just came up with that.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think that the veil has not been, it's still in place. Remember the scripture says that when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, okay, and you know, with a battle with Michael, it says that he as he was kicked down from heaven to earth, he was given the key to the bottomless pit, and when he opens the pit, is when all these ungodly entities come out, and that I believe is probably when the veil is going to be ripped. Now, I don't remember exactly, maybe one of you, Daniel or Larry, can maybe you can clarify this and remember, but wasn't it in 2014 when CERN was supposed to up the power under CERN, you know, max, and they were supposed to really start it up again? Right now it's off, from what I understand.
Right.
If I get that right.
Yeah,
but
it
he's
was,
supposed
you know,
to be back up full power in 2014. And when that happens, when that happens is when I believe they're really going to be able to, you know, pierce through the veil, and the veil is going to collapse. So does that make sense?
Augusto,
oh, yeah.
Not only does that make sense, this is really important for people to understand. And why I say that is because, as you guys know, I've done a little research in CERN and this very issue. It was interesting to me that with its current configuration, or the configuration before the end of 2012, CERN was running its strongest, its biggest, its fastest collisions right up until December 25th, 2012. December 21st, 2012. They ended with their biggest collisions on December 21st, 2012. Now, that's an important point. The next time, and they shut it down from that point on, the next time they will ramp that thing up is, as you said, they've added some additional or are adding additional technology to make it go even faster and have these collisions even stronger. Now, Augusto, I don't think you understand how right you are. Something happened on December 21st. We didn't see it, but if you talk to people, believers, they felt something. They knew something happened, right? Now, getting back to Larry's point about possibly seeing through the veil into this other dimension and being able to take pictures, I think all of these things are connected, and you guys got to bear with me because I'm just talking off the top of my head, because that is what CERN was trying to do. They were trying to see through the veil with the configuration that they had. They couldn't pierce the veil. They were trying to see through the veil. And the reason I say that is because they had been successful when they first brought it online to see through the veil. I think they've gotten greedy, and they're trying to get through the veil, trying to open a door, if you will, in order for this to happen. We say a door, you say a portal. The Bible calls it the abyss, and I think that is exactly what they are trying to do in 2014. And it's interesting, Augusto, you mentioned this the last time I was on the radio with you. You mentioned that there are two blood moons next year. Are there not?
There are two?
Two blood moons next year.
Yes, next year and 2015. Those are called the tetrads, and they are very rare. They will not happen again, I believe, for hundreds of years. And it's going to happen during Passover, and it's going to happen again during the Feast of Tabernacles in 2014, and then it's going to happen again in 2015. I do believe that those are very special. There's something about that is happening. Every time this has happened in the past, there has been some incredible events happen with the land of Israel that we have been talking about, with Jerusalem and the land of Israel. And so we need to pay attention to this, because I do believe that we are entering the end of times that I have been talking about for so long. There's people, I know there's people listening to us tonight that may think that, you know, this thing is not going to happen for another 30 years, 40 years, 50 years or more. And how I wish that they were right. Sometimes I listen to them speaking, and I said, how I wish you were right. Because that would give us more time, you know, to do the work of the Lord here on planet Earth. But I unfortunately don't believe that is true. I believe we got very limited amount of time. I believe the window of opportunity is closing, and it's closing fast. And we are going to see some things on this earth that are not going to be very nice. And when that veil is torn, when that veil is ripped, I have seen some of the things that are going to come through there. And I'm telling you, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. I saw a beast that I don't know what it looked like. It looked like a wolf. But it wasn't a wolf. It was horrible. It was like a beast. And it was able to tear people up. They could tear people apart from limb to limb very easily. And, I have seen this in the spirit. So I know what these things are gonna look like. Some of them, anyway. Not everything's going to look the same. There have been reports, recent reports this year and last year, of people being seen, the children with the black eyes. Now they're beginning to see other entities. They're beginning to see strange things happening. You know, I think I sent you, Larry, that video where a truck was lifted up in the middle of a highway and then dropped down across it.
Mm-hmm.
There was another video last year where a man, I think it was in the Middle East, not in the Middle East, in the East, either in China or in the Philippines or Thailand, where a man he was riding this like an ice cream truck, I think it was, or a hot dog truck, and a truck was about to hit him, and all of a sudden this flash of light appears out of nowhere, like from another dimension, and takes the man. They both disappear, and then they appear instantly, at the next couple of seconds, on the other side of the street, safely. And the man that did this, or the angel, or whatever he was, he walks away. And the guy that was driving the truck...
I think I saw that. I saw that, Augusto.
Yeah, I sent that to you. I sent that to you.
I remember that now. Absolutely, yeah. And someone had said, was that an angel? Because no one really had any explanation, you know, for it.
So these events are beginning to happen, happen more frequently. There are beginning to be sightings of UFOs, fleets of UFOs now in different parts of the world, and so these things are beginning to abound, and they're beginning to multiply. And as this veil begins to get thinner, we are going to begin to see these things more and more. Now, this movie just came out, Jack and the Beanstalk. I think it's called Jack the Giant Slayer, I think it's called. But it's about Jack. Yeah, I think it's called Jack the Giant Slayer, but it's about the story of the giant and the beanstalk, you know, Jack and the beanstalk. And from that dimension in that movie, I took my son to see it. There comes this giants galloping down, and they go out for for flesh. They eat people, and these things are beginning to make their rounds. And there's another movie now, it's getting ready to come out, I think it's in the summer, about the zombies, you know, and these entities. And so these things are beginning to happen now, and Hollywood is beginning to put these things out. I believe that there are signs, and they're trying to tell us, some of these things may be coming down the pike. And I believe it. I believe it because I have seen it in the spirit. So I know they're coming.
Well, you know, Augusto, before we got on the air, I was worshiping and I was praying, and I think this is a good time to mention this. You know, what the Holy Spirit told me is he said, Dan, you need to tell them that the way to survive during those things that are coming upon the earth is to worship me, is to give thanksgiving, is to praise me in spite of your situation. Because, guys, there's some ugly stuff that is about to happen. And the only shelter that we will have in this time, the only fortress that we can find, I think that it's important to prepare. I think people need to store up food. I think that they need to defend themselves. I think they need to find high ground. I think all those things. But in the end, the only shelter that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only comfort that we will have in this time is the Holy Spirit. And it's really, really important, audience, that when we see these things begin to happen, and we are seeing them now, that we worship the Lord, that we truly worship the Lord, that we are speaking to Him on a regular basis, that we are worshiping Him and giving thanksgiving, even if we're miserable, because there's always something to be thankful for. You know Jesus, you have a lot to be thankful for. So, Augusto, it's really important, and the stuff that is going on in the world today, you know, we have the audience listening, and they're going, what in the world are we supposed to do? All this crazy stuff is happening. You know, if these guys are only 10% right, we're in serious trouble. Well, folks, we're in serious trouble. You need to know that. But we don't tell those things to you so that you can be fearful. That's not our goal. Now, I can't speak for myself, but Augusto and Larry don't sell nothing. They don't sell gold. They don't sell supplies. They don't sell books. I'm the only guy sitting here selling something. But they tell you these things so that you are ready, audience, so that you are prepared in your heart and in your mind for those things that's coming. Now, guys, for those that are listening to this show, okay, this is just entertainment. These people are just making this stuff up because they're trying to fill the airwaves with entertainment. What would you say to them right now? What would you tell them, Larry? I mean, we talk about this all the time. People don't want to listen. What would you tell them about the things that we're talking and the things that are about ready to happen?
Well, I would have to look as the days of Noah were. When you look back at that time, and, you know, if the Bible's correct, and, what you know, I believe it is. I know you and Augusto believe the deal. If the Bible is correct, and sometime in our time frame after Jesus, it was reported that we would be in a time frame known as the days of Noah. And if that's true, in our wildest dreams almost, of course, Augusto's been having a few of those wild dreams and the creatures he's seeing, but in our wildest dreams, without having any of those dreams, we couldn't even imagine the creatures and the giants or the Nephilim and the genetics and probably even the craft and stuff that they used in those time frames. You know, because the history we're taught is nothing. You know, forget the Nathanaels. You know, however you say that. You know, the big-headed folks. We got a few of those today, but seriously, you know, as the days of Noah were, we can't even imagine. And, you know, but apparently there was provision that was put in place to keep him safe to get into the ark. Well, not only get into the ark, build the ark, but get in the ark. And so with as in days of Noah, we're coming up in a time that's just absolutely unprecedented, except before the flood. You know, it's hard to explain to people that don't really know what you're talking about or haven't read it, but it's a time beyond serious. You know, what strikes me, Augusto, and Daniel both, is the fact that I can count to eight because I've got 10 fingers, so it's easy for me to count eight of them. And no matter how many folks there was, including all the genetic and hybrids and Nephilim and, you know, everything else, eight people survived? I mean, man, oh, man, that's serious.
Yeah. Well, it seems like every time that this Planet X, okay, or this the Red Kachina and the Blue Kachina, the Destroyer, the 10th Planet, however you want to call it, it seems that every time it comes around, there is an explosion of these Nephilims. We saw it at the time of the Flood. We saw it at the time of the Exodus. And now we are beginning to see it again. Now, I am no expert in the matter. I don't think there's really anybody that is an expert. There have been some that call themselves experts, like Zachariah Sitchin. You know, he'd done a lot of studies on the Sumerian texts and things like that. And, you know, and archaeologists have done so, you know, some research. But still, nobody really is able to come up with a solid answer to this, because they were not there. Don't know. You know, there's a lot of assumptions. There's a lot of interpretations and things. So, but, okay, let's just give it a crack, okay? Let's just do the best we can and try to, you know, to use our reasoning and hypothesis, and let's just try to put a little theory here in play, okay? It seems from history that every time this 10th planet comes or it comes by, okay, and it begins to affect the Earth, that these Nephilims, these fallen angels, all these horrific entities begin to appear on the face of the planet. Okay, we know that they were mostly drowned, not all of them, but a lot of them were drowned and killed during the Flood. But we know all of them were not, because we see them again, during the time of the Exodus. We saw that Moses had to, you know, when he sent the spies, and, you know, and then they saw them there in the land of, you know, Palestine. They saw them, the giants, and they looked like grasshoppers. We know that David fought them, and Joshua fought them. And so we know that they were there again. So something happened to cause them to appear again on the face of the earth. Now, according, and we've read this already, that according to the texts in the book of Enoch, it says that at the end of the age, after 70 generations, the giants will rise again. Okay? Now, we are right about that time right now. Okay? 70 generations have come and gone. And we are right about that time right now. Okay, I'm basing this on the calculations of people and historians and archaeologists that have done this, have done their homework. So we are there. We are at a time when this object is coming back, Planet X, Nibiru, the Blue Kachina, the Red Kachina, and every time this happens, we see an explosion of fallen angelic activity and Nephilims. This began in 1948. Okay, in 1948 we began to see, during the affair of Roswell. Some people say it was real. Some say it was not real. There's evidence. There's some evidence that there was truth to it. Maybe not all of it is truth, but there was something that happened around Roswell in 1948 that with this type of entities. Okay,
the government became 47.
In 47 or 48?
Yeah, 47 was when the saucers and all that happened.
Okay. My
that
bad.
Hey, Augusto, that was the year I was born, so I remember.
Okay, well, anyways, at that time, the government began to get involved, and the cover-up began. Okay, so they have been in contact with these entities. That was the time, by the way, that the Jewish state was born also, around 1948. And also, it was, I mean, many things happened around the same time. That was when the Club of Rome began to come together. Many of these secret societies began to emerge. Okay, the New World Order, the New World Government, all that began to be plotted around that time. I'm not saying that it didn't exist before, but it began to really take form, take shape. So this began around 1947, 1948. Okay. So now we are beginning to see, since that time, UFOs. Before that time, there were not many UFOs. Since that time, more and more, to the point where we are seeing fleets all over the earth. We are seeing portals appear. We are seeing portals appearing over there in the Gulf of Aden. We are seeing portals. You're seeing them over your house, Larry. I am seeing them here sometimes. People are seeing them over in Central and South America. These things are beginning to happen. Why? Why does it always happen whenever this object comes close? And according to Zachariah Sitchin, is because this globe or this planet or this object, whenever it comes, there is one planet in particular amongst the entourage of the dragon, of the red dwarf, or the brown dwarf, of the destroyer, that these entities seem to live on it. They seem to inhabit it. Okay? And so whenever it comes around here, they take a trip down here to planet Earth, and they begin to really, you know, deal with and interact with humankind. How many people that are listening tonight can tell the how we have grown, in our technology since 1947, 48, around that time, how our technology has exploded. It was also prophesied in the scriptures that there will be an explosion in technology at the end time, right before the return of the Lord. So why is it that it was, why this coincidence, that right at the time when this object is beginning to get close to planet Earth again, okay? Because remember, it's on an orbit of 36 plus 100 years, okay? Plus or minus. It takes around, it comes around, it goes around, and then it goes away and it comes back. Every time it comes back, this begins to happen again. And these entities begin to interact with humanity. They begin to make deals with humanity, give them technology in exchange for use of their people and other women, okay, for them to conduct their experimentations, their DNA, and their, it's all about the sexual experimentations. To produce, their new bodies for them, or to produce a new race, or whatever. It's really not important, but it does happen. They have massacred cows. They have desecrated cows, animals, trying to come up with a body, trying to come up with some kind of formula so that it works, so that they can inhabit here, so that they can build some kind of a society here. They want to do this. Okay, they try to do it in the days of Noah. They try to do it in Atlantis. They try to do it back in the days of Joshua and David. The problem is that every time they try to do it, the Lord wipes them out. The Lord destroys them. And so they're going to try one more time. I believe this time they're going to try for good. I do believe that they know that this is it. This is it. There's no more. There's going to be no more times. So they know this is it. This is the final draw. This is the final chapter. And they're going to come at it with everything they got. And so this is what I believe we're experiencing, what I believe we're seeing. All this talk about the New World Order, about the technology, or the UFOs, and the climate changes, and all these things, this is what this is all about. And I've tried to encapsulate this as simple as I can, to put it in words that can be understood so that people realize what's going on and make some sense out of this craziness, because it's crazy what's going on. So many things going on. So, you know, that's basically just a very simple bird's eye view of what's happening. And, you know, people don't need to be afraid. They just need to be aware of what is really going on. The Lord delivered humanity all those times. He will deliver us again. No doubt about it.
That's absolutely true, Augusto. And that was my whole point in asking the question. We as the people, as God's people, as the bride, need to rest. And I do mean that. That sounds really super spiritual and religious, but I mean that, because in the times that are coming, people aren't going to be able to find rest. There's going to be so much turmoil in their minds and in their physical world, trying to find food and shelter and try to stay safe, that they're not going to be able to find rest in and of themselves. They will have to turn to Yeshua to do that. They will need the Holy Spirit to do that. And folks, the best time to do that, the best time to find God's rest, is not when things are in turmoil. The best time to find God's rest is when things are at peace now, so that you can plug in. So these are the times when you begin to hear all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world. And you know, I don't know if Larry has shared this before. Augusto, I know you've seen the pictures. I've seen the pictures. The UFOs, if Larry is correct, and these UFOs, he's taking pictures of them, because I've seen them, and I'm not making this stuff up. These UFOs are not your everyday UFOs. The last picture that he sent me, and Augusto, I think you saw this already, was in the form of a snake. A snake in the sky, and that's the second time he has sent a picture to me like that of something coming out of the portals where he lives. Now, folks, that's not normal, okay? This is not your average flying saucer stuff. And it proves the point that the time that we are coming in is so crazy. It is so unpredictable. It's dangerous, certainly. But if you're not plugged into Jesus, you need to be plugged into Jesus. And I don't mean just saved. You need to be plugged in with him. And the point is, Augusto, to your point, that was a wonderful summary of the things that are going on in the world today. It's only going to get crazier from here. You guys, you've probably seen this, but just this morning I read a couple of different articles where these trumpet sounds and these booms that we heard last year in the atmosphere are back. Did you guys read that? They're back in New Jersey, and I think I I heard where they were back in California as well. And I don't recall ever hearing them in California before, but now they're in New Jersey and they're in California. And the stuff that is going on in the world today, It boggles the mind. It's better than any thriller that I could ever write, because it's real life. I mean, it's just it's crazy, crazy stuff. I don't know. Is it just me, or you guys think of the same thing?
No, I believe you're correct. And let me throw another situation that's going on in the world right now, especially around us. I got an email from Holly Deo. Matter of fact, I guess you both read the blog where this, well, what I thought was a lost friend of mine for years had passed away the other day, and found out he was operating a ministry, actually producing Hal Lindsey and the Omega Letter, all this kind of stuff. I mean, he had his own main ministry up in Canada, and I had met him years before. But anyway, Holly sent me a note, and she said, absolutely, it's shocking how many of the watchmen have been removed. You know what I'm saying. Both of you guys know what I'm saying. It seems like so many of the watchmen have gone. They're gone now. They've left, so to speak. And matter of fact, my wife made a comment the other day, every paper we get is full of obits. I mean, the obituaries is just a page or more, you know. But, you know, and I won't even bring up, Augusto, that the God's prehistoric rapture, that'll cause trouble. But I did a study on that, and from what I could glean from, I think, the book of Jasher and Jubilees and some of that, you know, about what before the flood, some similar situation. But what do y'all think? There seems like a lot of watchmen have been removed lately. I guess I could say removed. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Larry, my own personal situation with family members. Augusto, I was just talking to you about this as well, and that is on a personal level. It's interesting you say that, but on a personal level, that's what the Lord told me, that this person would be removed before things got really bad, because this person is precious to the Lord's sight. And I hear what you're saying. I mean, I think he is doing that, because there comes a time, and I heard Rick Wiles. I don't know if you guys get a chance to listen to True News.
Yeah, I like some of his shows, yeah.
Yeah, he was, you know, there's something that back in December 21st, he felt something as well. I was talking about this earlier. Something happened in the atmosphere, in this dimension, in this environment. And he said that, it's not me saying this, this is him, and he had a couple other watchmen on. He said that the ministry of True News had changed. It was no longer going to be a platform for warning what is coming. It was shifting to simply broadcasting what is happening. And I think what we are seeing with the demise of powerful men of God, of watchmen, is God removing them from what is happening now, because he's calling them home. And we get, and I've thought a lot about this, and whether it be through research and writing or personal circumstance, you know, we on a humanistic level, we all are concerned about our being able to breathe. We all like to breathe. We all want to stay alive. And I think about Paul, and Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. And yet so many of us, and don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating that we go out and take ourselves out. That's not what I'm saying at all, because if you're not taken out by circumstances and you do it yourself, you're taking God out of the equation. So that's not what I'm saying at all. But the point is that we hold on to this flesh, we hold on to this reality so tightly that we forget that this reality in this dimension is only in this 3D environment is only a fraction of what real life is in Christ. It's only a fraction. So when God begins to remove his watchmen because they have served him faithfully, you know, we sit back and we feel sad because those people that we knew are no longer with us. But the fact is that they are, and, you know, people say this in a real spiritual, holy way. They say that they're in a better place. Guys, they really are in a better place. And
absolutely.
More to the point, if he is removing them from what is coming, Larry and Augusto, it should make us pause and wonder, okay, how bad is what is really coming that he wants to remove those people that has served him faithfully all this time? You know, Larry, that's what I think about. I think about, wow, you know, what is it that he's protecting them from? Because it's about to get really hairy, and I get the feeling that ain't the half of it.
You think about the name Methuselah, you know, which was really a sign from God for the days of Noah, actually. But I went back and looked at, the ancient books, said that God removed those that loved him except for the ones he was going to keep safe.
Well, and that's an important point, except for the ones that he was going to keep safe. Now, remember, audience, okay, there are those that serve him now, and he says, okay, you've done enough, enter my rest, my good and faithful servant. So he takes them, right? So they go into this rest. We call it that, but it's a much more vivid life than we have now. That being said, those that are left behind to work, those that are left here that serve him, he will shelter us. And that was my whole point earlier, guys. Why I didn't say it for your purposes. I said it for the fact that the audience needs to hear this. That in spite of the things that we talk about, in spite of the hairiness that it's about to get, I mean, it is about to get really hairy. In spite of all that, there is safety and there is rest in Christ. If you serve him faithfully and you listen to his voice and he says, walk this way in it, then you will be able to survive the times that are coming. And you know, if you don't, then if you are in Christ, and you know, there's the consolation, to live as Christ, to die as gain. The point is that we really, really, Larry, if he is removing his watchman because things are about to get really serious, then we really, really need to pay attention because I think, to use your phrase, all hell is about to break loose.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, go ahead.
In 2 Kings, in chapter 22, verse 19 and 20, and then it's written again in 2 Chronicles 34, 28. But let me read the 2 Kings 22, 19 and 20. Says, because your heart was tender, and you have humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and have torn your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather you unto your fathers, and you shall be gathered into your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again, and it's and there's a similar verse in 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. It's the same thing, verse 27 and 28. It talks about, you know, him about the Lord taking you know, this person to be with his fathers, so that he would go to his grave in peace, that his eyes would not see the evil that he was going to bring upon this place and it upon its inhabitants. So, yeah, I do believe there may be some of that. The Lord is removing some of his people, and so they don't see the evil that he's going to bring upon this planet.
Yeah, that's actually, Augusto, you found it in the Old Testament, in, I think, Jasher and Jubilees. It basically says almost the same wording, that he removed them before the flood so that they wouldn't have to see the evil that was being brought there at that time.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of, Augusto, what it does, I guess, and Daniel, is, you know, I worked in law enforcement for years and did a lot of legal work with the DAs and stuff like that, so I know what a precedent is. You set a precedent, and it's almost like God set a precedent, and that's the way he's working. But when Holly sent me that note, though, it just kind of, I just kind of really had a flash of how many of the watchmen, and I can't keep up with all of them that have left, but a lot of the watchmen have really gone on. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I do believe that, and I do believe that the ones that are not, then probably he has a work for them to do here. I know that you know, the Lord is going to fulfill his will on, you know, on his people, on me, whether we want it or not, and you know. You know, even the Apostle Paul says, you know, it's much better for me to go be with the Lord and stay here, but for your sakes, you know, I'm still here. And so it's just a matter of what the Lord has in store for each one of us, if our work is finished or it is not finished. And
Daniel, you might write another book.
Maybe. If the presses work to print it, I'll write it. Well, you know, Augusto, we have about 14 minutes left, and I guess this is a good time to talk about this. You know, there have been people over the years that have listened to you guys. Certainly, I always mention that I just woke up. I've been a believer for, well, at that time when I woke up, about 26 years, served the Lord, but wasn't awake to the things as they really are until about 3 or 4 years ago. But you all have been, Larry and Augusto, you all and other watchmen, you have been faithful all of these years. You have stood on the wall and you have called to the people and said to them that a storm was coming. You told them that these things were coming. And many of those times you've been ridiculed for those things that you've said to them, for those warnings that you've given to them. Most of the time, people that do listen to you for entertainment's sake. They find what you say interesting, and they put it on the back burner because they kind of believe it, but they don't really think it's for now. So with the 13 minutes that we have left, guys, what would you say to those people about the time that we are in right now and how to prepare for those things that are coming upon the earth that are imminent on the earth right now?
Oh, my. Go ahead, Larry.
Oh, that's a pretty deep well to pull water from. Oh, my. I mean, the only thing that I could point out, I guess, Daniel, is I would just really stress the fact that, you know, you have to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach. And without that, I see no hope. I mean, that's what else can I say at the point in time we're in now?
Yeah, we are in uncharted territory, which is a lot to say. That's a mouthful right there. Even Yeshua himself said, you know, there has never been a time like it. No, nor shall there ever be again. And then he said, if those days were not shortened, the elect would not, be saved. So we are entering into uncharted territories. I wish I could say that it's going to be a piece of cake, but I can't do that and honestly be truthful. I do know that it's going to be horrific, based on what I have been shown, and I don't know why I have been shown many of these things. But I have, and I have tried to warn the people as faithfully as I could. I have tried to be as truthful and as faithful to what I have seen as I could. I have tried not to prostitute, you know, what the Lord has given me. I have never tried to do that. I give it out freely. And let the people, you know, just have it. So I think I have done what I have been asked to do. What else could I tell the people? Well, I think what Larry said is about it. The people need to just make their calling on the election sure. They need to make sure that their lamps are full of oil. And that relationship with the Lord is real. One thing that I see a problem with is many of these Christians today that they think that they're going to be okay, you know, and they said, the Lord will help me. That is a beautiful confession. It really is. But the problem is that confession will not stand the test of time if that individual doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. So there's many believers out there, many Christians that go to church. They go to Sunday church. They pay their tithes. They don't get fed. They don't get nothing from the preacher, basically just another sermon, another Sunday, another service. And they go back home the same way they went. And, And they believe that because they do that, that the Lord will honor their faithfulness in going to a church or service, and they believe that He will honor their faithfulness in giving, their tithes and offerings into that church. But this is where a lot of people do not understand. I know personally that Larry Taylor has given all of his life to the preaching of the gospel, and I know many times that he has gone through troubles, and maybe financial troubles, and even other kinds of troubles. And, most people don't know about it. And, same here, and same with others, probably with Daniel. But, the thing about it is that my source is the Lord, and He is the source of all my troubles. One of the first things that He taught me when He brought me out of that church I was pastoring in Miami, Florida, was He taught me that He was my provider. Mm-hmm. My provision comes from Him. It doesn't come from the government. It doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from anyone. One time when I was traveling as an evangelist, I'm going to share this short story. I hope it won't take long, but I'll be short.
Oh, sure.
But, it's in my book, Smile, Jesus Loves You. But I was traveling, that's how I made a living. I am an engineer by trade. I worked 10 years as an engineer, civil engineer. Then we pastored 7 years, and the Lord called me out of engineering. He called me out of that church I pastored into this work I'm doing now. He asked me to move, and we left. I obeyed Him. We went to wherever He asked me to do. At any rate, make a long story short, I was preaching one time, and I was preaching in this church, and my goodness, the little offerings they were giving me was not enough to even pay for the gas in the car and feed my family. And I remember I went to the pastor. I said, "Listen, man, I'm going to have to get a job. I can't live on this." And he was shocked, that I asked him that. And I guess he was embarrassed or something. But anyways, he gave me a little more. But my Lord, as I was going back home, the Lord just pulled my ears and He said, "Son, don't ever do that again." I said, "What do you mean, Father?" He says, "You have a need, you come to me. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider." So He taught me that He was my provider, and He has provided for me. He taught me He was my healer, and He has always healed me. I mean, I have my pains and my aches, like everybody else, but thank God He has delivered me from diseases and from any sickness. He has taught me to be my Jehovah Nissi, my deliverer. He has been my deliverer more than once, protected me from things I didn't even know that I was being protected from, and protected me from things I knew He was protecting me from. He has sent angels to protect me, to deliver me from destruction, from death. He has been my deliverer. He has been my shepherd. He has been there to guide me, to lead me, take me by the hand and say, "Don't do this," or "Do this," or "Don't go there. Go, come here." And, I have had to learn these lessons through relationship. And this is something that a lot of people just don't understand. It's good to listen to these programs. You learn. Whenever you listen to Larry, to Daniel, myself, and other watchmen, and other people, and other teachers, you learn things. You actually do. But if you don't put into practice what you learn, it will not profit you much, because you will not be able to go higher to where the Lord wants to take you. And that is, He wants to become your provider, just like He did for me, and just like He has become for Larry, and I'm sure it become for Daniel. And He wants to become your deliverer. He wants to become your healer. He wants to become your shepherd. He wants to be everything for you. And that only happens through relationship. And if you don't develop that relationship now that you have time, now that we have liberty and freedom to serve Him, now that maybe things are not as crazy as they are going to get, if you don't do that now, if you cannot keep up with the footmen, as the scripture says, how will you keep up with the horsemen? How are you going to keep up when things get really bad? If you cannot deal with Jordan when it's when the waters are low, how can you deal with it when it's a flood stage? You cannot, and you will not. And this is my concern, this is my burden, that the people, those that are listening out there, you're not ready spiritually to tackle the things that are about to happen. And are you willing to lay your life down for the Lord if he came to that? Are you prepared to die for Jesus if he came to that? Are you prepared to be a martyr? I'm afraid the churches are not teaching people how to die. They're not teaching the people. They're teaching the people maybe how to be blessed. They're teaching the people how to live in blessing.
Well,
but they're not
point,
teaching
Augusto.
The people how to die.
That's a perfect point, Augusto. Absolutely. And you know, there's things that I can't share, you know, and Augusto, because we've talked, I know there's things you can't share. But on a spiritual level, and, you know, I'll just say this, okay, and Augusto, you can comment or not. I know our time's running out, but on a spiritual level, I have never been, shall I say, worked with or operated on by the Holy Spirit like I have in this last year to draw me into places I never thought I could reach. The Lord doing things with me that I couldn't even conceive of, but yet that's what you're saying, you know, and I know, Augusto, the same thing's happening to you. Something's happening to us, okay? I'll just put it that way without going in any deeper.
Yeah.
You know, churches today, folks, this is really important, because churches today don't teach you how to die to yourself, much less die if you have to die via the guillotine or something like that. So, folks, as we end this show, remember the admonishment that the Lord gave me to give to you, audience, and that was to get on your face before him, to worship him, and to thank him for your situation regardless of what it is, to speak to him and seek his face in a relationship, as Augusto said, because in these days that are coming, that are here, not coming, that are here, you're going to need that more than ever. Augusto, we have a little more than a minute. Do you want to pray us out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have like 3 minutes. Dorothy?
A little over two.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I believe, and this is something that the Lord has really been drilling into me, is people, build your altar. Build your prayer altar. And if you backslidden, get right with the Father. Today, tonight, get on your knees. If you're listening to this radio broadcast or you're playing it back, get on your knees and just say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all ungodliness. Forgive me of all my transgressions. Save my soul. I need you. Come and save me. Rescue me. Deliver me. Also pray this prayer if you've been tormented. If you've been tormented, if you have been oppressed, if you feel like the demonic forces are all around you, pray this prayer, real short prayer with me right now. Say, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, wash me with the blood of the Lamb. Cleanse my mind, my subconscious mind, and my unconscious mind from all filth, from all sin, from all oppression, from all demonic strongholds. Cleanse my soul. Wash me with the blood of the Lamb. Make me white as snow. Cleanse all my sins away and all my troubles away. No matter if it's a second, third, fourth, tenth generational curses, ungodly soul ties, wash it all away by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of your name. And Jesus, I surrender my life to you tonight. I belong to you. Take me. Seal me with your spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, I give you all the glory. Help me and give me strength in the days to come. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, guys, thank you so much for letting me eavesdrop and to crash your party. I appreciate you more than you know, and I count it a blessing and an honor to know you.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm glad you were able to join us, Daniel. It's always a joy and a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. And Larry, it's always a joy to share with you guys. And and Dorothy, thank you so much for being faithful to the work of the Lord.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Augusto, and I appreciate your ministry with you every time we get a chance. And Daniel, God bless you, my brother. Dorothy, I'm so sad that the raccoons got your chickens, but I'll pray for you. But God bless you, folks. I mean, you're great guys to deal with and to be a part of.
Thank
Praise
you,
God.
We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye, all.
Shalom.
Good night, guys. Thanks for coming. Thanks for another great show. Good night, everybody. I'm sure you'll come back when the hosts come back, because they are such a blessing to us all. Good night, everyone, and Father bless.